At worst, it might shatter their worldview, cause psychological damage such as that caused by the Spanish conquistadors' sudden appearance among the Aztecs and Incas of the Americas. With an impatient humph, Kossoff said, "We're not going to be looting their temples for gold or carrying off their women, for God's sake." Little John spoke up. "They accepted the probes easily enough. Perhaps they'd welcome an attempt to converse." "Or perhaps they'll be terrified," Chang countered. "I'm going to convene the executive committee and put it to them," said Kossoff. "If they agree, we'll try to speak to the octopods."
"Not the World Council, back on Earth?" Chang asked, her voice hollow with awe. "The World Council has the ultimate authority."
"No," Kossoff said firmly. "This is our responsibility." Brad realized he was nodding vigorously. "We'll put our data to the test." Little John said softly, "Every experiment is a step into the unknown."
"A risk," said Chang, clearly unhappy.
"A risk I'm willing to take," Kossoff said. As he and Little John strode down the passageway from Kossoff's office, Brad felt almost like dancing.
"He changed his mind," Brad marveled. "He accepted my idea."
"Yes," said Little John. "He accepted your idea. If anything goes wrong, it will be on your head." Smiling down on the diminutive aborigine, Brad said, "What could go wrong?"
"That's what your General Custer said when he ordered the 7th Cavalry to attack at Little Bighorn."
Brad laughed.
"Very seriously," Little John explained, "Kossoff has performed a neat little bit of mental jiu-jitsu on you, Brad. If this attempt at contact works well, he'll take the credit for it. As far as the World Council back on Earth are concerned, it will be Adrian Kossoff who made the first meaningful contact with an alien race, not you. And if it doesn't work out, it will be on your head. You insisted on the experiment. You'll be responsible if it fails."
Contact. The entire scientific staff seemed to learn of the decision within a microsecond. An attempt to contact an alien species. The first time it's ever been tried. History in the making. Suddenly, Brad was an important person. The beanpole had convinced Kossoff to make the attempt. Skyhook had battled the linguistics department chairman and won.
That evening, Felicia asked, "What do you want to do about dinner?"
Staring intently at the sitting room's wall screen covered with lists of protocol requirements, Brad answered absently, "Whatever."
"I think it's best to eat here," Felicia said.
"Yeah.
You've become an overnight sensation, you know."
"Uh-huh." Felicia smiled patiently and headed for the kitchen, knowing that Brad was totally immersed in the coming attempt to contact the octopods. She thought that she should be just as excited as he was, but instead she felt nothing but apprehension. No, she realized. What she felt was dread. Brad sat tense as a drawn bowstring in front of the set of display screens. The command post for the contact attempt had been set up in one of the ship's smaller conference rooms, just off the communications center. One wall screen had been digitally divided into half a dozen displays. Each display showed different views of the same group of 22 octopods swimming leisurely in Alpha's planet-wide sea, with half a dozen of the expedition's probes cruising on either flank of their formation. "It's their world," Brad said to himself. "They've lived in the sea for God knows how many millennia, and now we've invaded their world." He realized that, in a sense, Kossoff and the mission protocol rules had been right. "We're going to change their world forever." Elizabeth Chang looked cool and unruffled as she took her chair at Brad's right, but Brad noticed that she was rubbing her right hand along her thigh. Nervous? Why not? The head of the communications team, a large, roundish Hispanic with a thick, drooping mustache, sat at Brad's left. He seemed more concerned with the countdown clock ticking away at the left of the screens than anything else. "Remember," he said to Brad in a low, rumbling voice, "there's a 3-minute lag in two-way communications between here and there. Any action you want to take will require 1.6 minutes to reach the probes." Nodding, Brad muttered, "Yo comprende." "Santa Maria," muttered the comm chief. Only half a dozen other people had been allowed into the command post. Still, the little room felt crowded, hot, stuffy. Kossoff sat in the next row, behind Brad and Chang.
Captain Desai sat next to him. Little John had been placed behind Kossoff. Brad had insisted that Felicia be allowed in. They had placed her in the back row. 5 seconds, the comm chief muttered. 4, 3. Brad could feel his pulse throbbing in his ears. 2, 1. Hello, the central screen's synthesized voice said. In the upper right corner of the set of displays, a burst of chittering sound screeched in the octopod's language. The screen showed a spiked curve. Nothing changed. Give it 3 minutes to get their response back here, said the comm chief. Brad sat there, staring at the central screen, counting his thundering pulse beats. The command post was absolutely quiet. No one stirred. Brad felt perspiration beading his upper lip. Suddenly, the screens erupted in chatter. Hello, the central screen announced, translating the octopod's clicks and squeaks into standard English. Hello, undecipherable twitters and chirps. Deep, more chatter. No food. They're talking. More beeps and squeals. The octopods clustered around one of the probes, twittering and waving their tentacles vigorously. Chang said excitedly, I think they're asking the probes to hunt with them. Brad pressed the key that sent the hello signal again. Is all this chatter being recorded? Someone asked. It sounded like Kossoff, but Brad was too fascinated with the views on the screens to turn and check. Automatically, said the communications chief. We've done it, Little John's voice triumphant. We've made contact with an intelligent alien species. A hand clasped Brad's shoulder. Turning, he saw it was Kossoff. Congratulations, son. You've made history today. Before Brad could reply, Kossoff turned to the comm chief. I've got to report this back to Earth. Please set up an FTL link for me. And the octopods chattered on, seemingly just as excited as the humans. Where do we go from here? This changes everything, said Elizabeth Chang. She was standing in Kossoff's sitting room, with Brad, Felicia, and a dozen others, including the burly comm chief, quaffing champagne from Kossoff's private supply. A victory party. A celebration. Kossoff's quarters were larger than the normal accommodations for less prestigious personnel. The sitting room was absolutely spacious, and Brad presumed there was more than just a bedroom down the hallway that led to the kitchen dining area. As Little John had predicted, Kossoff himself was receiving most of the congratulations from Captain Desai and the members of the scientific staff who were present. Brad didn't care. He had been proven right. The octopods were chattering away with the probes in Alpha's ocean. Contact, even if most of their chatter was incomprehensible. Kossoff himself stood in one corner of the warmly carpeted room, champagne flute in hand, a broad smile on his bearded pirate's face. Chang was beside him, Desai on his other side. Most of the people were focused on him. Brad and Felicia stood across the room by the wall screen that showed the octopods swimming alongside the probes, still chattering. The aliens looked almost playful to Brad, swimming around the probes, touching them lightly with their tentacles, chirping away at them. He tried to imagine what was going through their minds. Here they've had these foreign objects plowing through the ocean alongside them for months, silent, totally passive. Then all at once they say hello. The octopods shower them with greetings, questions too most likely, and the probes answered with the few words they knew. To the octopods, the probes must seem like retarded children or mental defectives, hardly the most flattering way to make contact. Where do we go from here? Brad asked Felicia. She was beaming. Don't be such a worrywart, Brad. Enjoy your success. You can get back to work tomorrow. He nodded, but said, and do what? As if he heard Brad, Kossoff said, loudly enough for his deep voice to carry across the crowded room, Now we have to throw every resource we have into translating the octopod's language. We have an alien species to understand, to learn about, to join with. Chang nodded reluctantly. But we don't have the resources. Kossoff cut her off. Elizabeth, I want you to turn your entire staff to studying the octopod's language. We've got to follow up this breakthrough. "But the bipeds on Gamma," she objected, almost whining. Kossoff blinked at her. "We'll continue studying them, of course. It should be easier to make meaningful contact with them, certainly. I don't have the manpower to do both at the same time." "Then we'll have to draft more people to do the work. Raid the other departments."
"Really?"
"Really," said Kossoff, glancing around the room, his eyes lit on Brad. His smile turning slightly crafty, Kossoff called, "Brad, come over here, will you?" Brad put his glass of lime juice down on the coffee table, then took Felicia's hand and walked through the crowd. Kossoff reached up to put a hand on Brad's shoulder. "How would you like to study the bipeds on Gamma?" Feeling wary, Brad temporized, "I'm an anthropologist, sir." "That might be just what we need." Beckoning to Littlejohn, standing in the crowd, Kossoff said, "James, why don't we put the entire anthropology team to studying the bipeds? They're rather humanoid, after all." Looking somewhere between surprised and suspicious, Littlejohn made his way through the crowd toward Kossoff. The room went absolutely silent. Brad could feel icicles suddenly dangling from the ceiling. "Well," Kossoff asked the Aborigine, "wouldn't your team like to focus their attention on the Gamma bipeds?" Littlejohn pursed his lips thoughtfully, then said, "We'd have to suspend our existing studies. I don't have the manpower for both." With a laugh, Kossoff answered, "I don't think anyone of the scientific staff would mind if you suspended your studies of them. Most of us don't really like being your guinea pigs." Littlejohn forced a smile. "Perhaps we should discuss this tomorrow." "You're entirely right. Forgive me. I forgot that this is supposed to be a party, not a planning session." Brad could feel the tension in the room ease a notch. On an impulse, he turned to Desai. "Captain, Felicia and I want to get married. Could you perform the ceremony for us?" Desai blinked his dark, long-lashed eyes, glanced questioningly at Kossoff, then turned back to Brad. "I have never performed a marriage ceremony. It is very rare, you know." "But you could do it, couldn't you?" Brad pushed. "It's within your authority as captain of this ship, isn't it?"
"Yes, I believe so."
"We want to be married," Brad repeated. Focusing on Felicia, Desai asked, "You too?"
"Me too," she replied softly.
Kossoff broke into a big grin and said, "I'll give away the bride." Felicia and Brad burst into laughter, and Kossoff's face burned deep red. Wedding Day. Felicia rose early, kissed a groggy Brad lightly, then dressed and left for her own quarters. She spent the morning with nearly a dozen other young women, dressing and gossiping and making ready for the wedding ceremony. In the week that had passed since the contact with the octopods, Brad realized that he didn't have any really close friends. He'd always been something of a loner, and outside of his fellow anthropologists, he barely knew any of the other men among the scientific staff. Brad had made a point of seeing Kossoff privately to explain why he and Felicia had laughed when Kossoff offered to give the bride away. After a painful hour, Kossoff seemed mollified, but only minimally. "I know you think I exiled you to Alpha as punishment for snatching Felicia away from me," the director had said. Grinning ruefully, he admitted, "Well, maybe I did. But you turned your exile into a triumph, and I'm proud of you."
"Really?"
Brad blurted.
"Really," said Kossoff.
"You have the mind of a fine scientist, young man, and what's more, you have the stubbornness of an Arkansas mule. You'll go far, I'm sure." Brad felt his cheeks flush.